Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Rosie, it's Helen. I've been here since like 11 and it's 12 now and we're supposed to be recording an episode and I get that you're doing all these really great things with your life, but just come here, smash your beef and then come up and record. Thank you.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
A podcast where myself, Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Welcome, our guest today is Bobby Mair.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Sorry, two people are talking at the same time.
Yeah, we haven't quite figured this out yet.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
I'm an interrupter, naturally, and I really abuse Rosie's slow speech and pauses.
I barely talk.
I mean, okay.
I interrupt the average person, and with Rosie being not average,
and
being off a disabled brain job.
Rosie Jones' next show. Rosie Jones, not average.
She's not average in any way. Any pause, I can jump in at. I'm like, Helen time, Helen time. But I feel like I'm coming across really well, and that's what matters. Right, babe? She says yes. Right.
With her kind eyes.
Yeah.
I think you do have kind eyes, actually.
Really? Yeah. I thought I had pervy daddy eyes.
Those are two different kinds of eyes. I'm sure, I think you can have kind eyes, and then when you want to, you can have pervy daddy eyes. Yeah. Like you can turn them on for the right kind of moments. Yeah.
Also, I think pervy daddy eyes for me are kind. Like, if my dad even looks at me, doesn't matter if it's pervy or not, I'm like, thank you, Michael, for the eye contact.
Wait, what is this podcast?
Welcome to my daddy issues.
Yeah. Wait, kids, why we're all here?
Should we just have like 2 minutes of silent eye contact before the podcast starts?
No, too intimate for me. I'd enjoy it a lot. I really like that connection, though.
Jack, do you want to make eye contact with me once we finish recording? He's looking at me longingly. Oh, he's winking, and he's taking his top off. Thank you, Jack. This is a cute podcast just about the fact that we just really want attention from our dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay?
It's all why you're here, like, were you an attention-seeking little Bobby boy?
Yes!
Yeah! Which is why we're all here.
Why we're all comedians, you mean. Yeah, I was a very needy child and very much in need of attention.
Oh my God, preach. Did you manipulate situations to get it?
Like, what age are we talking?
What was your first memory of being like, no one's looking at me and that's ridiculous, I'm great?
My first memory of being, that would probably, like, I can remember I had a neighbor, his name was Nathan, and he was a year older than me, and he was very funny.
Yeah.
And he would always, like, be really funny, and I would laugh, and I'd sit in the corner, and I remember being in a bowling alley. In Canada, it's five-pin bowling, so it's like...
Five-pin bowling?
Five-pin bowling. Yeah, there's five pins and a smaller ball. It's more difficult, and the ball, it's actually more a game of skill than ten-pin bowling. But...
Okay.
So, I remember being in a bowling alley, and him just making people laugh, and me sitting there.
No.
Angry inside when I was like 6 or 7 years old, thinking, I want to be able to do that.
What was Nathan's material like?
I don't know what his material was. He was just really likable, and I saw him a couple years ago, and now he's married his like school sweetheart, who I remember from that age, like a girl he's known since 6, and he has a couple kids, and he's a teacher, and he's still funnier than I am, and he's still is more But I'm just sitting there, just seething. And then I would just...
Take your penis out.
No.
Nathan's looking at Nathan. Look at this.
That was definitely... I mean, I've got naked at parties, like everyone has.
Oh, yeah.
Just for attention. But that's later. Not an eight. No.
I mean... I got naked when I was like 5 and walked home from school naked. My mum... No, I was younger than that. I think I was 4. I hadn't started school yet. We walked up to pick up my brother from school. Me and I convinced another girl to get naked in the playground and run around. And my mum was like, oh, shit. Helen, put your clothes on. And I refused. And she went, well, that's it then. So I walked down Reading Road South in Fleet, Hampshire, fully naked. My mum was like, this is what you want to do. Like, I do think I'm a nudist. Like, I do think my grandfather was a nudist. And I think that's like in... Is it like inherited nudist quality?
I don't know if the nudist is genetic.
No, I don't think it is because my nana loved a nudist.
Yeah.
And she taught me when I was 14.
Oh, no, that's not
and
the right age.
She was like, come on, take your bikini off.
Did you do it?
No, she did.
About to say 14 is a tricky age.
The thing is, I feel like kids being naked fine, adults being naked fine, teens being naked.
Yeah.
It's just like you're really making the wrong people happy.
I was not into that.
How was your gran's body?
Oh my God, it's good.
Really?
Just absolutely revolting.
I got naked for attention when I was about 8. There was I was on a baseball team and there was a party and all the... I feel I was one of the leaders and we all took off our clothes and just ran around the house naked.
Great.
And I really remember feeling powerful and sexual and thrilled. Yeah. Like I saw it as a sexual act. I don't know how, but I saw it as me showing my sexual confidence even at 8.
Yes, you're aware that it's something that not everyone has the confidence to do.
Yes.
Even if you don't actually feel confident, you're like, I'm going to pretend I am.
I knew what a peacock at 8.
I knew how to at 4, so who wins there?
How many of you were there?
Probably a team. That was a baseball team, so 20 people maybe. 20.
Oh my God.
When I say people, I mean small boys.
But I'm the one instructor.
In the memory, like if I think of the memory, obviously at the time, you know, you're just, you don't think I am a child. You just think I am me. So in the memory, I'm an adult. But when I look back and think of the reality of the situation, I was just sitting there staring at a bunch of naked children.
Yeah.
Bobby, do you remember being in any like school plays or anything like that? Were you like a showy, dramatic child?
Yeah, I always wanted to be, but I hated all the girls who were in drama.
No.
They were all the Christian girls who did drama, and they were quite boring, and I felt uncomfortable around them because they all seemed like they come from like good homes and had this like stability.
Clem.
And then I just felt like an alien around them, so I never partook. But I think I would. But in the 8th grade, then I got cast in a play by my teacher, Mrs. Lockwood, who was a miserable woman. And she kept hurting her back and then quitting teaching and then coming back like 2 years later. She really hated teaching.
Oh my God, that's all bullshit.
I know. She was faking a back injury.
Because she get full pay for like a year, so she
kept... No, she kept just scamming the system. She hated teaching, but she wrote I can't remember if she wrote it. I think she did. What was amazing was the teacher would write the play. So she wrote a play and cast people, but she didn't cast me in that. But then the next year they did Wizard of Oz and I played
the Scarecrow.
No, but I could totally see that for you.
The Cowardly Lion.
Great role.
It was only one performance, but the day before I got very sick, vomited, went home, but then the next day I came back triumphant and performed as the Cowardly Lion.
Oh, you've been such a great lion.
I know, this was pre-beard, but I still think I had the essence of a beard.
Was that your first time on stage?
Yeah, that would have been it.
No way.
Did you crush it?
I did okay. I don't think I killed really, but I did all right.
Were you singing?
I don't remember. I don't, can't remember.
I would love it if in Canada they did a really soulful,
it
dramatic
version. It
was like
22 version. Years ago. It just all blurs together. You know?
I remember all my school plays very vividly.
Really?
Exactly. Every line, every role, every rehearsal, who was backstage. Like, it was all I had at school. Like, I was just obsessed with it.
But I loved, I realized I was funny pretty early on. And, I remember... in the seventh grade, I wrote a short story about Monica Lewinsky.
Amazing.
Wait, who's Monica Lewinsky again?
Wait, who's...
I know the name.
The one who had an affair with Bill Clinton.
That's why I know the name.
Blowjob
lady.
I remember writing
Let's give her a full title.
The woman who was horribly publicly shamed and her life was ruined by misogyny.
Poor Monica.
But
shout out to Monica.
She's not listening.
I hope not. But then if she... So I wrote a short story about Monica Lewinsky. And I remember...
How old were you?
12.
What happened in the story?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was just about... her having her own talk show, and I just kind of wrote a story about her just generally living her life, and you know,
like Jay Leno style talk show.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to Tonight with Monica Lewinsky. Yeah. Who were her guests in the short story?
I can't remember. I remember thinking this is funny, and then my teacher thought it was very funny and gave me a decent mark on it.
Good.
And I thought, okay, I can. That's encouraging. And then I went to a drama camp when I was like 14.
Oh my god, tell me everything.
It was
my dream to go to a camp.
It was a week. So it was at a university. It was a week at a university, and I went there, and there was like five other kids, and they were all like city kids, like drama kids.
Yeah.
And I was from like a small town. I didn't know anyone like me, so it was really nice to meet these other kids.
Yeah.
And because I was really young and from this small town, they were all really friendly and touchy, so I just thought they were gay. I was like, who are these gay people? But I wasn't like, that didn't bother me. I was just like, oh, these people are... And I remember we all got together, and at the end of it, we were singing, Why Can't We Be Friends? Why Can't We? We were doing karaoke.
Yeah.
And then I said something, and they were like, oh, we're not gay. I was like, okay. But I just thought friendliness meant gay.
Oh, God, I want to know what you said to them.
I don't know. It wasn't. It was, like, quite naive.
Do you take off the button, son? Something like that.
But the drama camp itself, it was a week, like, character. You do characters. And so every day you'd do a sketch and do a different character. You'd write your own character.
Yeah.
And I was really fun. I remember standing out in the class. And then I remember the teachers, this guy, he was named Alistair.
Yeah.
And it had a really profound effect on me. It really made me think I could do comedy. Maybe this is, like, I really like this kind of attention being on me.
Yes.
And then I saw him years later, like a decade later. And he was an improviser. And I said, do you remember me? And I told him the story. And he had no memory of it.
That's a shame. You always want to like feel like it was a moment for both of you.
But I really took...
Fuck him.
I know.
Because if I was him, I would go,
He didn't even lie. I took great solace by that point in that I had more of a career than he did.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was like, you're just a stepping stone along the way, you fucking asshole.
Shout out to Alistair. I think you're a really nice guy.
No.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was very attention seeking in school. So when I was about, I got in trouble all the time, suspended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For fighting, yelling, God. Just disrupting the class. Like I just talk all the time. Yeah. I just wanted attention. I just hated, school's quite boring. So I just sit there and I just keep talking when the teacher was talking. Yeah. Get thrown out of class all the time. And it wasn't like positive attention. I was just hooked on any attention.
Yeah.
As long as they're talking about me, it doesn't even have to be nice sort of thing. Yeah. As long as they're aware of me.
Yeah, I just wanted to be heard all the time. Oh, I remember when I was in the fourth grade, I was talking in class, and then my teacher was kind of a bully, really. Actually, I remember one time. This is like an attention-seeking thing and mixed with a creepy man. So I had this teacher, teacher in the fourth grade, and I made up on the bus. I'm with this other kid, but I was completely the lead. I made up one of those like patty kick things where you clap your hands.
Yeah.
Except it was a song about the guy, how the guy was a pedophile. Because there was all these rumors in school. There'd be all these rumors. Even when I was like 10, there'd be rumors about him. Oh, he's creepy. Yeah. He likes to walk into the girls' bathroom. Which is like, maybe they were just rumors. I have no idea. But then, at the time I made up this like song about him, right? And on the bus, and he was on the bus. He was like a few seats away.
No.
But he didn't say anything. No, he said nothing about it, right? And then we got off the bus. We were going to a swimming pool, and we went to a swimming pool. And he said, come in here. And he took me alone into a room, just me and him. He's like, I heard your song. I was like, well, the other kid was doing it too. He's like, no, you were doing it. I heard your song. I am going to tell the principal, and you are going to get in a lot of trouble. So you never do that again. And then he never told anyone about it. And he retired early.
God.
Oh, that's not a good sign, is it?
I know. But it was a really funny thing for a kid to do, wasn't it?
Think of the children you saved.
Maybe I let him know we were onto him and then he took an early exit.
Maybe that's how we get rid of pedophiles.
There's got to be a more direct route, Rosie. I don't know.
No. We'll just hunt them down.
Shame them.
We'll sing a song about them and then they'll never do it again.
I mean, it's a thought.
I don't know.
I feel like Bobby's already cornered that market, though.
Yeah.
There wasn't any at our school, I don't think. Like, I'm sure every school does have one.
Yeah.
We had one science teacher who really liked redheads, and he would tell us that all the time. And he had a redhead Barbie.
Oh,
and he was very keen on one of the redhead girls in our year.
Why?
And I was with a teacher who called me LaBella Len. He was like a French teacher.
Why would you say that?
LaBella Len.
He'd always be like, oh, LaBella Len. Like,
who's
the beautiful
LaBella
Helen.
Len,
I am. Apparently, I'm the beautiful Helen.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
so LaBelle. LaBelle. I don't speak French, so I was like, who's LaBella?
I just assume because you're Canadian.
No, I never. I mean, I took classes. I just didn't
you
pick
just
it up.
Never got it.
Did you have any crushes on teachers?
Yeah, my grade 9 art teacher was hot.
But there was, teachers are, though, aren't they?
It was annoying when you're 14. There's no way to have sex with a 28-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
I couldn't find the route.
Oh, it's tricky to figure out.
It was really annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a great time.
Oh, why were you sent to drama camp, though? Was it something you wanted to do?
I wanted to do it. I wanted to be a comedian from age, like, 12.
No way. That's so early.
So when people said, what do you want to be?
I don't know if I would be... I don't know if I had the confidence to tell other kids, but I wrote like an act when I was 14.
No, what Cute. Was it about?
I destroyed it when I was about 20, so I'd never have to know.
No,
I couldn't bear it. There was 20 pages. I wrote a whole hour.
No.
Okay, I've actually been saying this to people. You know, people like are building up for their first hour, like I am at the moment. It's that thing of being like, yeah, but like I've had an idea about hours probably since I was 13.
Oh, yeah.
Like not even thinking about stand-up comedy, but just sort of like in general, like a show.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I assumed I'd be like Carol Burnett or something. Yeah. Like it took me a while to figure out that I wasn't a good singer.
Yeah.
I thought I was a good singer, but yet to be discovered. So
you
I would sing
are.
At home. No,
you
I'm not. I'm a really bad
singer.
No, I can sing. I say once every 10 days.
There's only
I'm
one way to find this out right now.
No.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Rosie, nobody said you were a good singer. We need Helen here only.
Oh,
I'm just saying. No, but Rosie, how are we going to tell if Helen's a good singer if you're muddying the waters, you know?
Fine. Go with
it. I don't know what to say.
No, but don't sing a song that everyone hates anyways.
Yeah.
What? Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious?
It's a great song.
What's wrong with Annie?
I just thought...
Don't cry. Just tell us.
Whenever I sing that song, Harriet tells me to shut the fuck up and runs away.
Are you serious?
She hates it, so I thought everyone hated that song.
Oh, hi there. We're both really, really sorry to interrupt your listening of our amazing, amazing podcast, but Rosie and I have a special announcement because we're both at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival of Lights. Rosie, yeah. Tell the beautiful folk where your show is.
My show, Backward, is at the Pleasant Chicago at every single bloody day at 7 p.m. Where are you?
I am opposite Rosie Jones in the Pleasance Courtyard at 6 p.m. And my show is called Little Miss Baby Angel Face, and it's my first show, and we'd love to see some of you there.
Come, and that will be such a victorial bill.
Because we're ready for the best summer of our lives!
See you there!
Yeah.
Did you have a group of friends growing up, or were you quite a solo?
Oh my god, that was great!
You strike me as a little solo boy.
I had a group of friends in the first grade and second grade and third grade. And then fourth grade, my group of friends turned on me.
What?
No friends fourth grade, no friends fifth grade.
Oh, Bobby.
One or two friends sixth grade. Got a group seventh and eighth grade. That was good. And then had friends in high school.
Great.
You know what? I think it's good for
the years without friends. Very lonely.
What did you do during the sad
Well, I'd bully years. Kids who were less popular than I was, so right. I felt like I had a place in the hierarchy.
Well, you were bullied.
No, I was... Everyone bullies someone.
Well, you were bullied.
Yes.
This is the thing.
You look like you threw a pencil case at a teacher.
Okay, I didn't do that, but I did throw a pen at Jack earlier. I think, and I know that's that theory, like everyone was bullied or did bully.
Yeah.
I don't think I did any of that. And my school friends, we don't think I did either. But people I've met since then think I was bullied, but I was too thick to notice. Uh-huh. Like the people were like, oh, fuck you, Helen. I was like, oh, I'll see you later after school. Love you too. Like just walking around my backpack really happy.
When I was like 21, I lived with this other comic and my mom died and I was like quite sad.
Yeah.
And, because my mom died, but my friend would always call me Sobby Mayor, but I never noticed.
No.
But a year later, he was like, look, I was going through a really hard time myself, and I'm really sorry for calling you Sobby. No, he's like, I'm really sorry for calling you Sobby Mayor. And I was like, I mean, I didn't know you called me Sobby Mayor.
Oh, God.
But it was funny to get an apology for something I didn't notice.
Yeah, I got called fat in college by a boy who was going out with one of my friends.
Yeah.
And he called me fat in class. And I remember being devastated, but like not showing it. Do you know what I mean? Like I was like, whatever, I don't care, shut up. I'm being like sad at home.
Yeah.
But that was my only taste of it. And it was very brief, and you could tell that he felt bad as well.
Yeah.
Did he say accidentally?
Afterwards. No. It was he made the choice to say it. But in the way that like a teenage boy who's a bit of an asshole as
well. Yeah, well that's
would.
How, Yeah, that's how boys try to connect with women.
Yeah, for sure. And
being
it was just
mean.
But it was really mean, but like I think that was my one brush with it, and I don't remember. I was very aware of bullying because it happened to siblings of mine, so I was aware of it. I all my teachers and all my friends agree with this. We had a really good school year, like we had a great year and everyone was really fun. And we kind of all got along.
Was like, it a girls school?
No, mixed school.
Weird.
Yeah.
Mine was...
Did you have a good year?
No.
It was just chaos.
Yeah.
Oh man, there was bullying in the year, but like
there was one of my bullies in high school. He wasn't like a bully all the time, but he was just an asshole whenever I'd interact with him.
Yeah.
He was really homophobic and would just, you know, really like use the like that the idea of you being gay against you. You know what I mean? Like all the time. And then now he wanted to be a professional golfer, but it didn't work out for him. And now he runs a driving range. And what he does for money is he shows his men his feet to men on the internet, and they masturbate.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yes.
And when I found that out, I came. I was so happy. Yeah. Okay, what a great day. This is wonderful. And I don't even, what's great, I don't think he's gay. I think he's gay for pay, which is actually the perfect punishment for a homophobe. Oh, like, isn't that the perfect punishment for homophobia?
I love it when
having
things
to be
work
gay
out.
For pay. God, because that, you don't have any
that
skills.
Is beautiful.
I know.
So he's getting the attention he needs.
Yeah.
Do you think that you are getting the attention you need in life in general now, though? Do you feel like the attention-seeking child is fulfilled?
Yeah.
No. But I think that I don't think it ever will be. I don't think I can never like.
I mean, you're on TV, you're on stage every night, and it's still not.
Would Baby Bobby be proud of Big Bobby?
It depends. I don't know how to answer that. I mean. Yeah, I've achieved what I wanted to achieve, sort of, like when I was a kid, I think. So, yeah, definitely. In that sense, yeah, probably. I think I'd look at my life as a child and see it now and think, yeah, I've done all right, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be proud of how you did I if get... you were my boy.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. If I was your daddy, I'd be very happy because I think they come on so much.
Thank you so much, Rosie.
I've never seen you take your clothes off backstage when people aren't talking to you.
Well, you needed to meet me like 10 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, I think I've come in at a good phase. So now, more settled.
Better phase.
Now you're sitting in front of us, you got clothes on.
Yeah.
It's really grown up.
Yeah. I feel like it, maybe in terms of what you're asking, I feel like my need for attention, I guess, is satisfied by comedy. Like, I don't feel like... in my day-to-day life, I'm still needy with friends. Like, if a friend, I call someone, they don't pick up, I'm like, why didn't they pick up?
Oh, yeah.
But.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, control my life all the time.
Yeah, you can go out and have, like, a social drink with someone and it doesn't have to
comedy
all be.
Is a great way to channel kind of that neediness.
Yeah, I think so.
When you got comedy, you don't need to get your cock out.
Bobby, thank you so much. You've been a great guest. Do you have anything to plug? Where can the people see you live? This is coming out in like 2 months, I think.
Come see me at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival if you're in Edinburgh in the month of August.
What time?
At 10:30 at night.
Where?
At Monkey Barrel's new venue. Ooh.
What's your show called?
Cockroach, because I can survive anything.
Go see it. It'll be fucking amazing.
Hey,
thank you.
Amazing. See you later, Bobby.
Bye, Dream Team.
Bye-bye.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
JJ Watford, it's TV's Rosie Jones here. How are you? Do you want to hang out with me and Helen Bauer and talk about issues, childhood? I mean, I'm guessing we'll have a bloody lovely time. All right, catch him, Ruffle. See you later.
Deleted.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.